You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stukats Podcast.
This is how fried my co-host is. He was just muttering before these guys came on. He was just muttering under his breath, talking to no one in particular.
It's almost 420, Dan.
He keeps saying, Stack's not a Spurs legend. Stack is not a Spurs legend.
I said that, yeah.
You did say that. But,
I said it,
but,
yeah.
So I'm just staring at him, and I'm staring at him, and he's waiting to see what my stare means. And eventually I say, do you think Jerry Stackhouse is coming on with Matt Barnes? And he's like, he's not. And I'm like, no, it's Steven Jackson. And he's like, well, why do they call him Stack?
And then I started to piece it together.
It started dawning on him, the Steven and the Jackson. And then he's like, oh, yeah, he is a Spurs legend. It's okay, my bad. But Jerry Stackhouse is not joining us. Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson.
I had no idea your nickname was Stack, man.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
We'll get to the bottom of that in a second. But we are planning some special things this NBA postseason with our partners at All the Smoke Productions. You can expect someone from their crew on this show once a week. Amin's on Bully Ball Weekly. Matt Barnes is on right now with Pablo Torre, finds out in today's episode. And we're going to have some live watch-alongs later in the playoffs on our YouTube channel. Be sure to check out All the Smoke Productions on YouTube and the DraftKings Network for all new episodes of All the Smoke every Thursday. Matt, you played for the Kings. The Kings knocked out the Warriors. The Warriors appear to be finished and dead. What is your summation of both emotionally, how you felt watching the Kings do that to them, and the finality of respecting something that for a decade changed the entire sport?
Yeah, I'll start with Golden State. We literally just talked about this yesterday, and we feel that the dynasty is over. And will they keep the core together out of respect and tradition and for what they did for the game and each other and the organization? Or do they make moves to see how they can better this team in Steph's last handful of years? So from that standpoint, kind of sad, honestly, kind of sad to just see, you know, kind of an end of a run. And then on the flip side for the Kings, I mean, a young and up and coming team, a very shorthanded team right now. Obviously, Kevin Huerter out with shoulder surgery. Malik Monk as out with the knee. So very shorthanded, but we're able to, you know, capitalize and get themselves a chance to get into the playoffs as the eighth seed. So, you know, a tough game against the Pelicans, despite Zion being out. The Pelicans have had a lot of success against the Kings. So definitely hoping the Kings can pull that off and slide into that eighth seed.
Matt, what do you think Steph wants?
I don't know, man. It's hard to think. I know Steph loves Dre and Clay like brothers, and, you know, no one on the planet appreciates those two more than probably Steph, but I don't know. It's up in the air. I mean, I could see both sides. I could see him, hey, let's ride off into the sunset together. We've had a great run. Or, you know, do I want to try to compete, you know, in my last, you know, few years? So it's really a tough call, and a lot's going to come down to Mike Dunleavy and that management to see what they do.
Steven, what did you make of what looked like? Because I don't know why it's so hard for winning to be fun. Why Kevin Durant would leave there. I would think that for 8 years they would love crushing everybody, but it appeared recently that Steph was crying into his jersey when Draymond got ejected again. Can you sort of explain to us the volatility of relying on a furnace like that that wins you championships but is also clearly unreliable in spots, and there are times that you're going to feel like your trust is betrayed?
Yeah, and I know Steph feels like that. He's the biggest fan of Draymond. He talks so high about Draymond when people try to demean him when he makes this mistake. But I think at this point, he might not say it, but he's fed up too, because he's been doing everything right for so long. He's been carrying his team for so long. And now you're at the point now where Clay is not the player he needs to be. Draymond is still being the defensive player, the help guy. But when you don't have a guy like Clay or another guy like KD on their team to help him, it's a lot of frustration for Steph. So I can see him being frustrated right now and not having answers, because he don't want to say, I want to win and move on, because he's loyal to these guys. But then again, he's a winner and he wants to end his career on a good note. So I think it's a situation a tough situation for him, but somebody has to make some tough decisions.
You guys were both good teammates and good leaders. You saw a lot of different ego-type conflict. Put yourselves in that locker room. How are either one of you handling Draymond?
I don't really think, and I mean, for someone who was in that locker room, I don't necessarily think it's handling Draymond. I just think it's Draymond as he continues to get older and has these mistakes that you know, we're all allowed to make mistakes. We've all made mistakes, but his mistakes are starting to add up to major suspensions and missing games, and they're a much better team when he's on the floor. So I just think, I don't know necessarily if it's handling Draymond, because he is the leader of that locker room. He is the leader of that team. He is the heart and soul of that organization. You know, obviously, Steph is the best player, but Draymond is the heart and soul. So, I mean, I think it's just respectful conversations that Steph may have with them or Clay or other guys like that. But I think at the end of the day, it's more self-awareness on Draymond's part. And I think personally, he's starting to see it. It may be a little too late for this core to reciprocate, you know, him understanding his importance at this point, because like I said, I just kind of see with what they have now, I don't necessarily see them winning a championship unless they make a big move. But I think it's just more on Draymond. And I think as, you know, someone who is friends with Draymond, I think he's starting to see that and really understanding that his actions not only hurt himself, but are really starting to hurt his team because he's missing games over them.
Not surprising that Matt would object to the verb handling on an adult human being, but Steph, would your analysis, Stephen, be any different on that, or would you have anything? Because you weren't afraid of a confrontation when leadership is required, but what happens when your leader is, you know, creating, I think it's one of the great teammate crimes, which is just not being available for your guys because you can't be counted on.
Yeah, they don't have nobody to check Draymond besides him checking himself in that locker room. That's how I feel. When I was in Golden State, Al could check me, Matt could check me, I could check BD. Like, we had several guys to check each other in the locker room. I think Draymond the only one that holds that type of weight in that locker room. So, like Matt said, it's going to be Draymond checking Draymond, because at this point, to me personally, I think more frustration is going to come with Draymond because of his lack of production. He's not the stopper. He's not the B. He's just not the player he used to be. He's not as fast. He don't jump as high. So the less he produces in the game, the more frustration is going to come out. And I think that's why you've been seeing it so much now.
I have to just stop you, because Stugatz's eyes just lit up.
He
got very excited. What did you just notice?
Is someone rolling a blunt behind you guys? I mean, I'm jealous. I mean, I want to be with you guys.
So there's a guy named David who has, what's your donut shop called?
Mr. Donuts.
Mr. Donuts out here in Colorado. And he saw that we were going to be out here. So he came and brought me and Jack like 6 dozen donuts. And he's like, man, I was hoping to smoke with you guys. And we're like, we're about to knock Dan's show out real quick. But as soon as we're done with Dan, we'll smoke with you. So shout out Dave and his donut shop. He brought us some donuts and some good eats. And then as soon as we're done, we're going to light up with our guy.
He's doing some prep while the interview's going. That's great.
Swisher Sweet, Backwood, Dutch Master, let me back there.
Chris Cody got more excited by the donuts.
Working for the wrong crew. You guys need a producer? You guys good?
Last night, the Miami Heat. I'm sorry, I did interrupt you, Matt. Did you want to continue?
Wanted to add just real quick. I don't like that people are trying to take shots at Steph and Steph's leadership because of what Draymond is doing. And again, everyone is their own man. And sometimes you need to try to hold certain people accountable. But I don't think this is a knock on Steph's leadership or Steph as a teammate, or does Steph have control of the locker room? Again, Draymond is a unique person, a unique player. To really know Draymond is to love Draymond. And like I said, it's more self-awareness than anything. But I just don't like how people are trying to take shots at Steph's leadership over, you know, Draymond's mishaps. So that's, I just wanted to add that before we got out of that subject.
Well, I wanted to clarify and get some extrapolation from you guys on something. I think, Matt, that you revealed the story recently of Shaq doing something to Lou Adamson that I thought should have resulted in an immediate prison sentence. I believe it was on Paul George's podcast that you told the story of Shaq running around for a practice with Lou Adamson's mouth guard underneath or around his testicles. I'm not sure exactly where matters.
Does it matter?
But it's one. First of all, I can't imagine someone doing that to either one of you two. Okay, I cannot imagine someone having the literal sweaty balls to do that to you two. But that's not okay, guys. Like, there's nothing about that that's okay.
No, absolutely not at all. Absolutely not. There's nothing that okays that. But again, Shaq, you know, you're talking about two big personalities. We go from Draymond to Shaq, and Shaq is Shaq, 7 foot, 360 plus pounds. And at that time in Phoenix, you know, obviously on the backside of his career, but I still credit one of the funnest seasons I've ever had just because he was in that locker room. And although he may have crossed the line at times by doing stuff like that and chasing people around naked, Shaq was just, again, one of those guys that really knew how to keep it light, no pun intended. And then also, obviously, when it was game time, it was time to go. But Shaq is just an incredible human, and he definitely did a few things to cross the line, that being one of them. But again, man.
Matt, I'm going to stop you right here, and I want the thoughts that are inside Steven's head because he's shaking his head. He's been shaking his head since I asked the question, and I think you're being very nice to Shaquille O'Neal. You're being very gentle with this. Again, prison sentence is what if I was on the jury, it's not a bit excessive. If I was on a jury, I would say, Shaq, I know this isn't on the books anywhere, the rules, but if this is a criminal sentence, I want your thoughts, Stephen.
I mean, Shaq is big bro. We all love Shaq, but a line would have been drawn. Big fella, you running at me naked, and you know I ain't with all that. You get mad, tweak ready. I'm going to go to the car and get something to even this fight out. Because I'm not going to be running from you while you're naked. I'm going to show you I'm serious, and you go play with somebody else.
Go play with somebody else.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world. But once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Did you ever have a crush on a cartoon character?
Oh, can I go? This isn't my question, but I did.
Huh.
Jessica Rabbit. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yes. Yes, I think
she was married to Roger Rabbit, even though he was a bunny and she was a humanoid. But they were both cartoons.
Stugatz.
I had a crush on Betty Rubble.
Oh, wow.
What? What?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Whoa, with a surprise nomination from Stugatz. Showing you his dirty, dirty inner 9-year-old.
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz.
What is the angriest you guys have ever been at a teammate? Or what's the angriest story you've ever heard as a reaction to a prank? I think I heard one time Kenyon Martin was really mad because they filled his car with popcorn, a brand new car, one of his teammates. And I'd heard that story. What is the teammate story that you guys have where you saw a teammate so angry that it actually escalated to the place that Steven's talking about where he's going to his car to even things out?
I remember being in Indiana, and Danny Granger had just signed with the team. We had the veteran Darrell Armstrong on our team. And if you know Darrell Armstrong, he's a serious guy, black college. He takes basketball real super serious. And he's a vet. So Danny Granger shows up to practice late. He comes in, and Darrell Armstrong was like, "You're a rookie. You have to be here early." He told him, to you know what, to his private place. Darrell Armstrong got off the bike and went half court and maybe two steps and hit Danny with a Mike Tyson 21-year-old punch. And Danny was early for the rest of the season.
Just like that? Like, just walked right up to him and just hit him?
If you know Darrell Armstrong, he don't play.
Different times. Different times. That was good. My story. I remember really my first NBA practice. You know, I get drafted. I got cut, go to the G League, get called up by the Clippers. This is back in the Sterling era, practicing that South by Southwest where you had to leave the back door open so your car didn't get broken into. My very first practice, when I walk into practice, Quentin Richardson and Keon Dooling are in a real fist fight, like a real fist fight. You know, Quentin Richardson is a big old bear. And obviously KD, you know, was quick on his feet with a nice little jab. But my first NBA practice, I'm walking into two guys that were friends and were friends after that. But really, it just put them up and squared up, and we're really fighting. I was like, oh, this is what the NBA is about. I'm going to be all right.
I've never understood that about your environment. I feel like in our environment, if any of us got into a fist fight, that would probably be the end of our relationship.
Facts. I agree. I've never had a fight with nobody I'm friends with.
I don't understand what it is about your environment. I remember Ray Allen talking about this one time.
It's competitive.
Well, yeah, but it's just, you also can't be in your feelings. Like, it's just not, it's not a place that tolerates you being fragile about your feelings. And if there's a fight, I would think that's something that I would remember. I'd have a hard time working with that person later in the day.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee Kenyon Dooley and Quentin Richardson don't talk today.
Oh, probably not. But they was cool the rest of the season.
They was cool. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
They just got through the season.
That's what the rules were. Yeah. I don't know if you guys – I'm getting some criticism here because I was critical of Bam Adebayo, and I was talking about the game last night, and Tyler Herro was taking all the shots. And Bam is a defensive player. He's the reason their defense is so good. But also he had zero free throws, and he took 9 shots in the game. He made 5 of them. You look through his game logs, there's not a lot that's that kind of meek over the course of the season. But there are reasons for it. So your analysis as you watched Heat and Sixers last night was what?
Tyler had to do a lot of scoring, and I really like Tyler Herro, but I think he's still on a mission to prove how good he is. I think he's been disrespected in the past and wanted to be mentioned in certain categories with certain caliber of players, and I really like his talent. But I think at times he needs someone to be like, hey, you know, you got some teammates here, you know, especially because Jimmy is a Swiss Army knife. I feel like the Heat are the best when Jimmy doesn't have to be the leading scorer. So that in tune, which makes me think, you know, Tyler does have to step up. But at the same time, you definitely need production from Bam. He's very talented. Although he's a defensive minded player, he's definitely someone that can give you 18 to 20 points. If I'm not mistaken, that's kind of around his average, 17, 18, 19 points. So as one of the best players on the team, I mean, I think it's somewhere you pull Tyler to the side during the game or even on the court and say, give me that damn ball, or, you know, let's run a set to be able to utilize me. Because although Embiid was, you know, very impressive on the offensive end, we all saw he's not healthy and he can't really move. And I thought that Bam should have been able to try to, you know, stretch him out a little bit and go by him. But like you said, to only get 9 attempts and no free throws, I don't think they were able to utilize Bam as much on the offensive end as they needed to last night.
Steven, again, your disgust is clear on your face. Like you were watching last night disgusted.
You know, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. They have a defensive identity. They don't have no offensive identity. And Tyler's great, but he's not ready. He's not ready to carry this team and be the number one guy for this team. To me, he doesn't have enough to his game to be the number one player. He's a great shooter. He's not strong, don't have a post-up game, not the best ball handler. So to be the number one guy, especially going this part of the season, he has to be better. I don't think he's ready. Jimmy, you have to step up. They don't expect you to score, but these are the times and the games where you have to play big. You can't take a step back. Bam Adebayo, y'all don't have a point guard like Chris Paul or Rondo that's going to get you the ball when you don't get the ball 4 or 5 trips down. So you have to get the ball. Y'all don't have that point guard. Y'all don't have that identity as an offense to know where to go or get the ball to the guy who's rolling. They don't have that. First guy get across half court, they shoot the ball. And that's how they played last night.
Steven, is Jalen Brunson ready?
Jalen Brunson is beyond ready.
Yeah?
Woof, 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 woof. Big dog.
Oh, I'm excited.
I had to come out and admit I was wrong, because I remember when he first got that contract, I just didn't think – I didn't know – because I don't think any of us knew, to be honest, that he was
going to be as good as nobody,
he is.
Nobody. The Knicks didn't know.
But I just didn't say – yeah, I didn't say – I personally – I was like, I didn't think he was going to move the needle and put them over the hump and be – I ate my words, because he's been able to do that and more without Julius Randle. So I've been really happy for him. Great guy, great situation. And to think at the beginning people had questions. Now I think he's underpaid. Yeah. Definitely one of the best point guards in the game. It's going to be tough to see whether he lands on first or second team All-NBA, but I think he's a lock for one of those slots. But, you know, very impressed with Jalen Brunson, what he's been able to do.
Is there anything that you question about the Celtics? Because I don't. I don't question anything about the Celtics, but people do.
I like them. I think this is the year you don't question them, and I think it's because of Jrue Holiday. I think as solid as he is, when the team gets to going haywire and making a lot of mistakes, taking bad shots, I think Jrue the guy that can pull them back in, get the ball to the right person, and get them going on defense. So I think if any year where they have the best chance, I think it's this year with Jrue.
I think the X factor is Porzingis. I think he's a mismatch for bigs. And his availability has always been the question mark through his career, not necessarily his talent. So I think Porzingis is going to be huge. And just the fact is Jason Tatum really ready to make that step? I think he's one of the most talented players, and I think he gets knocked and discredited because he hasn't won a championship yet. You know, he was there in the Eastern Finals as a rookie, you know, lost to Golden State in the finals. So I think everyone's looking for Jason Tatum to really make that superstar step, and I think for that superstar step, is winning a championship for his organization. So they've been the best team all season. And I love what Jack said about Holiday. I think Holiday was a huge, huge pickup on both sides of the ball, because he's someone that when there are lulls on the offensive end during the playoffs, he's someone you know can step up and hit a big shot. But I definitely think the key to this team is Porzingis and his ability to be out there, because when he's out there, he's a shot blocker and he's a mismatch on the offensive end.
Amin Alhassan, who is on Bully Ball with Rachel Nichols, he called Jrue Holiday a corpse.
Whoops.
Yes, when he moved teams, at least in part, because Jrue Holiday at the time, to be fair, had just been smoked by Jimmy Butler in the playoffs and was talking out loud about quitting. He was talking about retiring from the game. But give me a guy like Jrue Holiday, just off the top of your head, both of you, who both of you guys – respected so much as a teammate that you might be in the middle of hot, angry, that person comes up to you and now you're stepping back just because of the amount of respect you have for the person who's coming to you in that moment as a teammate, who has such credentials as a veteran and who does his job so professionally well that the respect makes you immediately say, you know what, I need to stand down here.
Well, in Golden State, I think for us, it was Jason Richardson. Jason Richardson was the guy with the even keel on our team. But the guy that I remember the most was Steve Smith for me in San Antonio.
Oh, wow, that's old school. That's at the beginning, too, right? So you don't feel like you know much of anything about the league, and this is somebody you, I'm not going to say grew up watching, but...
But he showed up, gave me the ropes.
How about you, Matt?
I think Jay Rich was a great call. Someone who was, again, was kind of the face of the team. Before Barron got there and the rest of us got there, and someone who just went out and did his job every single night, didn't say a word about it, slam dunk contest, big score, but never was able to get over the hump. And I think he appreciated what they finally did by bringing in us in some help. So, I definitely think Jay Rich early on was someone who was very even-keeled and kind of kept the pulse of the team, because he had the longest tenure there and right. He had the most to gain, from the team's success.
I'm going to throw this to the shipping container instead of them. What is the best of the donuts?
Oh, wow.
Well, it's obvious.
It's a clear glazed donut.
Yeah, nothing jelly. Definitely jelly.
Original glazed donut.
Sugar glazed donut.
Not powdered donut.
Have you ever had a cronut?
Powdered.
Cronuts are incredible.
You can just
mess
it through and you don't get your own donut.
I used to go pick up a dozen donuts with my mom after my
speaker. Cronut jelly.
I mean, it's literally the best.
You got the red light on. The red light is on. There's nothing you can do better than that.
Matt, your thoughts?
That was a hell of a question you just asked. My favorite donut, I just found a place in LA. I like the chocolate donut, but I also like the glazed bottom because most of the time it's just a regular cake and the chocolate is, you know, but I found a place in LA that glazes the bottom and has the chocolate on top. I'm a real donut connoisseur, so that's my shit.
Steven, Steven's a careful eater. He doesn't, my mom's flan tempted him, but otherwise he's being very careful.
I love donuts. I'm a color donut guy. I like red velvet.
Is that because you're colored?
Blueberry.
Is that because you're colored?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a red. I have never heard a red velvet donut described as a colored donut. That's
it's red.
Yeah, no,
we call grape Kool-Aid and cherry Kool-Aid, red Kool-Aid and purple grape. Kool-Aid. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That is the kind of analysis you will only get from all the smoke, the elaboration of, yes, it's red. It's a red.
Red, for sure.
Wait a second, guys. Backwoods or Dutch Masters?
Neither.
Wow, really?
Neither.
What are you doing? Raw.
Is he an amateur? He's an amateur.
I did Swishers for like 20 plus years. I mean, Jack, when me and Jack first started hanging out, we were both Swishers heavy. But just that, it sits on your lungs. So I've graduated, thanks to Wiz Khalifa, to papers about 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Backwoods. Yeah. I like the tobacco wraps. But no backwards.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to do this to thanks to Wiz Khalifa. Look at me, just an unnecessary.
No, I mean, he's right.
Drop.
He's he's right.
It's an unnecessary name drop.
He's right.
He's Matt Barnes. He's right.
No, but it's unnecessary.
Yeah, but he knows him.
Like, he could have learned it from anybody. He wouldn't have said, Jose, Jose.
No, but Wiz brought it into the you know,
the public sphere.
Exactly.
Okay, but still. Still, I'm assuming that he's doing it personally. It's not just because Wiz Khalifa is making it popular. I'm assuming he's smoking with Wiz Khalifa. No?
Yeah. I mean, that's...
All right, I was wrong. Yeah, my bad.
He's my neighbor.
Hit it again!
See you guys later. Again, you can expect someone from their crew once a week. Thank you, guys.
Oh, wait. Dan, we still there?
Mm-hmm.
All the Smoke live tour. Appreciate all the fans that pitched in. We asked where you guys wanted us to visit, and the first stop will be Detroit, June 3rd, Detroit, and then Chicago, June 4th. And that'll be the first two stops of our tour. Then we got six more to come, but those are the first two stops. So get your tickets now. Pre-sale tickets are available. Man, come have a good time with us.
Where are they available? You want to tell the people where they're available?
Tickets are where?
Check our Instagram.
All right, you got to do better
Instagram
than that. You're
gotta
do,
fine. No,
come
you
on.
Did fine.
I mean, come on, Barnes. You did
we
fine.
Just got the information. They just got greenlit. So go to All the Smoke Instagram.
Yeah.
Get your pre-sold.
And go to All the Smoke Instagram. The commercial and the announcement about it is much better.
Okay.
Classic stack.
See you later. Our thanks again to Matt Barnes and Jerry Stackhouse for being on the show.
Don Levitard.
Fakes. I don't look smelly either.
Stugatz.
Women stay home in the kitchen where they belong.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Put it on the poll, please, Juju. Does someone who started watching the NBA last night think that Kobe White was the best player in the sport last night?
Yeah, he was. Speaking of Chicago, though, and donuts, I was thinking about how my favorite donut is a Long John, even though I haven't had one in years.
A what?
And I realized that's a regional
Chicago thing.
A Long John
is not
just
a cruller?
It's just a long donut. I don't know if there's a difference, but in Chicago, we call them Long Johns.
Do you know, have you heard of a cruller? I've always called the long one a cruller. Is that what a Long John, like a long twisty one?
I thought it was
one?
A cruller.
It might be.
Is it?
I thought it was a crawler.
Huh.
Seems nowadays that they put bacon bits in Long Johns now.
What?
Huh? Well, the maple ones. Yeah. Those look good. Well, I mean, I don't know. I was just, in my head, I was thinking about all the regional Chicago foods deep dish pizza, and it reminded me of something I saw on Twitter yesterday, which is that Angel Reese from our Chicago Sky, Chris, is trying to rebrand herself now that she's no longer the Bayou Barbie. She's in Chicago now, and so she solicited an ask to her Twitter followers of what she should name herself now that she's in Chicago, and Deep Dish Diva was one of the replies, so which I did like. I also saw the Windy City Barbie, which that one, I'm not sure.
Not good.
The Barbie on the Lake.
No,
that was my suggestion. Also not good. I also agree, it's not good. A lot of not good suggestions in her reply, so I don't know what she's going to go with, but I know Stu Gatz is the king of the athlete nickname. So do you have any kind of pointers on what makes it catchy?
Well, no, it's got to stand out, but it's got to be something off of Angel, I feel like. Like, it's got to be something with her first name, like something off of that. Angel, Chicago, use some of that and bring it all together.
Okay, so get to work on it. We will see if we can give some help in this regard. I maintain, I don't know how many people would agree with this, put this on the poll. Is Chicago Deep Dish Pizza the best of all the pizzas?
No, because it's not.
It's
the best of all the nicknames.
Detroit pizza is great, too.
Yeah.
The reason I bring it up is because not everyone likes, and you're not going to be surprised by this, what? I can have a pizza and it'll have the consistency of cake? I'll take it. Like something thick and like three pizzas? It'll feel like something that I should be eating with a fork and knife, but I know a lot of people think that all of that is blasphemy, that it can't be a big, thick, buttery thing that's just dripping all over the place.
The crust of the deep dish is just incredible. The cornbread flavor, it's so good. And then you have a thick layer of cheese and then sauce. And I was talking about this with Kugler the other day, and he had a name for something that I've never known there was a name for before, which is like the cheese lasso that gets stuck in the back of your throat if you eat too melty of a piece of cheese from a slice of deep dish pizza. And I have frequently been eating deep dish pizza and felt this phenomenon and been like,
without it ever having a name.
Cheese is so stretchy. That, I mean, you could literally do a cheese pull across the entire Chicago River.
I'd love to.
Yeah, but here's the problem with Chicago pizza. When the first thing you talk about is the crust, bad pizza. I'm not getting pizza for the crust.
I was just describing it from the top up.
I understand, and I appreciate you describing it for
us.
That's
the key to any pizza.
I'm not being irrational.
No.
It's the key to any pizza. A good New York style has a nice crispy piece of crust.
Yeah, but it's thin. It's thin. You don't notice it.
The crust is like the defining feature of the, like, that's why it's like thin crust versus deep dish. Like,
oh, irrational.
Thank you, Chris. That's how I feel. Look, I'm not here to defend deep dish pizza. I think both types of pizza
have
their place in cuisine. I love a thin slice. I love a deep dish. They're both delicious.
Genre.
I'm just saying.
Put it on the
deep
poll.
Dish pizza.
What are you saying?
Know what the
That's
fuck
good.
I'm saying.
At Lebatard Show, to say I'm just saying and having just said it and then continue saying it is a choice.
I'm just saying we could do better than Deep Dish Diva.
At Lebatard Show, I want to ask the question: preferred crust, thin or thick? Because I do like it to be bready, but I understand people who prefer no. Don't want so much bread, want the cheese, want the sauce. But I not surprisingly, prefer just general more. My favorite kind of pizza is more.
Dan, when you have that Detroit crispy edge with the cheese pizza, I know you've had Detroit-style pizza, Dan. That, to me, is the better crust than just bread or buttery crust.
But you say this, and I'm just talking about, I'm not simply talking about like a thick piece of pizza that you would get at Whole Foods. I'm talking about what they do in Chicago where they bring it out on that skillet that it has been in an oven.
It's a deep dish.
And thank you, Stigatz.
If I wanted a lasagna, I would have ordered a lasagna.
It's not lasagna. This is a Long John. I'm showing the video right now. And then a Crueler right there, Dan. Very different. Very different. Someone just texted me.
Well, the Crueler or Cruller or whatever it is that Chris Cody calls it, it's the only long name I had ever had for a donut. I didn't other name. I don't know what this Long John thing is. Here it would be a Long Juan in Miami. I don't know what that is. I don't know what's in it. Somebody just put bacon in it, put maple in it. And I'm like, yeah, put that on my deep dish pizza. It'll make everything better.
I'll get you one, but I might steal it first.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan, and I've been watching sports for a long time now.
As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world, but once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time! To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.